Well, good afternoon, everyone. We don't often meet on a Sunday. But on a holy day, we often do turn to Leviticus 23. I'm going to turn there and read one verse. Leviticus 23 and verse 22. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. What is this verse doing here? It seems like an odd verse here in the midst of this chapter on the festivals of God. Its placement is immediately after the discussion of what turns out to be Pentecost, although Pentecost isn't actually named here. But as with many such verses, rather than ignoring the odd placement, perhaps we should reflect on the reasons that it might be here. For example, as God's first fruits, we are to be generous, to think of the poor and to think kindly of the strangers in our midst. God is ultimately going to work with and save everyone who is willing to develop a relationship with him, as pictured by the fall holy days. And I addressed the subject of the poor in relation to this verse in a message 2 years ago. Most of you probably don't remember it. But today I want to explore more about the analogies that we can find in the concept of gleaning. The more you get into it, the more multifaceted it becomes, but perhaps some of these ideas will get us started. Now, we should probably start with the book of Ruth. This book is traditionally read by the Jews on Pentecost. It takes place primarily during the harvest season, in the spring. We read about that in the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Ruth in chapter 2, in verse 21, it says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said," she's talking to Naomi now, she's just come back from gleaning in the field. Naomi wants to know where she's been, what she's been up to. I mean, she knew she was out gleaning, but, you know, how'd it go? And Ruth of Moab said that he, meaning Boaz, said to me also, "You shall keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maidens, that they meet you not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So she kept at this for the entire feast season, constantly gleaning in the field. And Boaz, as we read in here, had instructed that they were to not rebuke her at all, let her glean wherever she wanted to, even among the sheaves. Leave a few things behind for her. Help her out any way you can. It's interesting, he didn't say, "Well, just hand her the food." He still expected her to go about doing the gleaning that she intended to do, but he wanted to make it as easy for her as possible. So here we have a story about someone gleaning during the time of the Feast of Pentecost. But we also note that Ruth was a Gentile who decided to abandon her former gods and accept the true God. It was in chapter 1, we read in verse 16 that she told Naomi that wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people should be my people and your God, my God. She had learned about the God of Israel and wanted to convert from her pagan upbringing. Now, before we get back to this story, another story comes to mind. And that's found in the book of Matthew. It's a story about when Jesus traveled to a Gentile area and was sought out by a Gentile woman. And we're in Matthew 15. Matthew 15, I'm going to start in verse 21. Matthew 15, 21, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. This was a Gentile region north of Galilee. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, God of, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Now we begin with verse 23, a series of, I will call them slights against this Gentile woman. First thing that happens is that Jesus answered her not a word. She pleads with him and he basically seems to ignore her. Now Jesus knew what was going on. He's not trying to be mean, but he is trying to make a point here and it's being recorded for us. So he chose not to answer her at all. And this perhaps prompted the disciples, came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." So it's bad enough that Jesus didn't answer. Now the disciples come up. She can undoubtedly hear this. Just send her away. If that wasn't enough, Jesus answered and said, presumably to the disciples, once again, I'm sure in her hearing, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This did not stop her. She was as persistent as she could be. We could do a lesson on persistence, but she's a tremendous example. Because in verse 25, she came, worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And then he answers her directly. And he says, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Even that didn't stop her. Because she says, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now in this story, the gleanings are not grain left behind in a field. They are crumbs that fall from the table. But the principle is the same. God is not calling everyone now. There will come a time of ingathering, pictured by the fall Feast of Tabernacles, when God's way will be made available to all. But this spring harvest festival focuses on the first fruits. For those of us who did not grow up in the church, we were called to glean in the field. As we faithfully returned day after day to glean from God's word, there came a time when we sought to be accepted by our Lord and Master, to be baptized, to become part of the first fruits. Ruth, at the encouragement of her mother-in-law, sought marriage with Boaz, as we seek to be married to Christ. Now, I think it is safe to say that Ruth did not go out into the field the following year to glean the grain behind the harvesters. She had a new position now. She was the wife of the owner of the field. And she was now in a position to assist her husband in making the gleanings available to others. It's a position we hope to be in. And in some ways, we are now. Part of the bride of the husband, and we can assist in distributing the gleanings to others. There's another story I'd like to look at in this connection that's found in Romans 11. And in Romans 11, we hear this story that is about how the Israelites didn't obey. They didn't do what God wanted. And he likens them to branches broken off from the olive tree because they wouldn't abide in the root of the tree. And he's talking to Gentiles, because this is a book written to Gentiles, and he's talking to them about being grafted in. So let's start in verse 16. With this in mind, it says, "For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. If you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in." Recognizing that Israel had sort of given up their position, and now the Gentiles are being called. And Paul says, well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. In other words, you could fall off, be broken off because of unbelief if you don't stay with it. Verse 22, "Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief," in other words, if they start believing, "they will also be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into the cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree?" Most of us did not grow up as part of the olive tree that represents God's family in this analogy. We had to be grafted in. And how was this done? Through the Spirit of God, given on this day of Pentecost, and through gleaning what we could from the Word of God. In addition to the giving of God's Spirit, Pentecost pictures the giving of the law. Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 relate that law, but I would like to look today at Leviticus 19. Because in Leviticus 19, every one of the Ten Commandments is stated or alluded to in some fashion. So in Leviticus 19, we'll begin in verse 1. "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father,'" there's the fifth commandment, "'and keep my Sabbaths,' the fourth commandment, 'I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols,' the second commandment, 'nor make for yourselves molded gods. I am the Lord your God.'" When you get to verse 9, we see something that we've just read earlier in Leviticus 23. "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God." So he puts that command in this chapter. Then in verse 11, "You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another." Again, from the commandments. "You shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." So he goes back to the third commandment there. In verse 15, it says, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor unto the person of the mighty." So once again, he's referring to his care for the poor. "In righteousness, you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." Verse 17 is interesting. "You shall not hate your brother in your heart." Now, when we get to the New Testament in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, this is equivalent to not murdering. We often think that God only gave the commandments in their physical form in the Old Testament, and it took Jesus Christ in the New Testament to give us the spiritual intent. One of these days, I hope to give a message where virtually every spiritual intent that Jesus gave is also given in the Old Testament. But this is what, the one where the murder is related. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. As I said, all of the commandments are addressed in this chapter, often including their spiritual intent, and there is much reference to the stranger and the poor, and the need to be generous to them as an extension of the command against covetousness. And it is a few chapters later that one of these statutes is stated again in connection with the day of Pentecost. As I said, Leviticus 23:22, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. We are to help the poor and the stranger. This involves providing them with physical food or the means to obtain it when it is in our power to do so. But it also involves providing the spiritually poor, which is all of mankind, with spiritual food for those whom God is calling at this time. Pentecost celebrates the giving of God's Spirit and the birth of the church through which this becomes possible. We were all gleanings at one time, and we are called to show God's mercy and love to the entire world. God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. He says to love your enemies, to be holy as he is holy, and to share our physical and spiritual gleanings with the world.